You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. You can find us at...
Good morning, Waterloo Region. It's time for CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. We have a live, in-studio, on-air performance today with the Soviet Influence.
Life I hardly thought about. The light fades to the ground. I'm faced with all this fear and doubt. All silence on the ground. Until you came around, well, home was just another place. As cliche as it sounds, well, it's become a sacred space. Truth is, we are stuck in this convoluted mess, and I would call it love. But in the end, I can rest. All your words to soften the blow. And all these thoughts that I've composed fall silent on the ground.
Incredible. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Peter and Peter. All the way from the Soviet Union.
Yes, all the way across the ocean.
Seriously, where'd you come from?
Yeah, so I live in Limehouse, Ontario, which mm-hmm. is like Halton Hills, sort of Georgetown, Acton, Milton, that area.
Yeah.
I grew up in Hamilton, and I went to UW, so Waterloo was my home for a few years at one point.
It's not your first time in the studio.
No, I was in the old studio back when it was on campus. That just kind of says how old I am, I guess. In the old studio back on campus.
Yeah, and Peter. There's two Peters in the studio today, so.
I'm born and raised in Waterloo, but right now I'm down in Windsor going to school, so it's a longer commute.
I'll joke up with the other Peter here.
My brother is actually the drummer of this band, and they were looking for a bassist, and he said, I know a bassist, and I showed up.
He did say that, yeah.
Yeah. That's how it worked.
But today you're playing acoustic guitar. You're both playing acoustic guitar.
We are, yeah. I'm trying to mix it up a little bit for the today
set.
Yeah.
Plus Peter's so talented, he can just do.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
About anything, you know.
It's wonderful. So I've got an album in our digital music library called Boundaries,
mm-hmm.
Dating way back to 2013, I think.
Yeah, that's the old album. Yeah.
Yeah. But you've been playing much longer than that. I mean,
you were in the studio
on campus. So.
Oh, man, yeah. No, I've been since high school. So 1997, I think I started my first band and with my high school friends. And we were like classic rock songs and writing some stuff and whatever. And then, almost lost my guitar. When I was a student at UW, I had bands here and played a bunch of stuff. We played Fed Hall on campus a bunch of times. We played... You know, we played this old bar called the Circus Room. I was telling these guys about this place.
Oh.
It was like this ridiculous bar. So I was in bands. And then, and then eventually around like 2011-ish, I had a bunch of songs. And I thought, well, I should do something with these songs. So I started recording them. And then that's when Boundaries came out. Only played one show at that time, which was at the Registry Theater here.
Okay.
We did like a fundraiser for eating disorder program around here. And I was
kind
in social
prestigious.
Work. At the time, so yeah, I was in social work school at the time, so you know, issues were important to me. So we did that, and it was one off with a bunch of my friends, and then it sat for a bit. And then maybe 3 years ago, I started recording again. I was like, I got a bunch of songs again, and then I thought, well, you know what, I'm getting too old to not do something with this before I'm like, you know, I got a family and stuff, but I'm like, I want to actually play these songs and do some shows and you know, push it a little bit just to see, you know, have some fun. So then I thought, well, I better get some other people, so I found Blake. Who became my drummer, and then we had another bass player for a bit, but then he joined a Johnny Cash tribute band, so he sort of went off to do that, which was great. You know, it's better, more lucrative for him. can make some money, and you know, that was his career. So then he suggested Peter, and I was like, Peter, come on board. So
So your total band lineup is Peter.
Right now it's Peter, Blake, and I. We just added another guitar player named Ty, who hasn't really played with us much yet. He's had a couple one practice with me. So hopefully there'll be four of us just to kind of fill it up the sound a little bit. Yeah.
So on the studio album that you've just released?
It's mostly me and random people that I know. So these guys weren't around then for that. But there's a bass player from Alberta that I'm kind of made friends with online who did a bunch of the bass tracks. There's drummer. I know a couple drummers. Yeah, just people I could find. And then singers and whoever. Just anyone who's like vibing on what I was doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was wondering about that. You know, because Boundaries was out in 2013. And then I've got this little EP from you called Visions.
Which was
last year sometime.
Yeah,
and then Soviet Influence,
The Price of Vigilance.
Price of Vigilance. Which came out January 25th.
Just in January, 25th, we had a release party in Hamilton, which is my other sort of home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that gap in the middle there was just sort of like having children. I mean, not me, obviously. My partner had children. I didn't have to give birth.
It's a mutual affair.
Yeah, I was there, but she did all the work. But I had children and I was working. I'm still working, but you know, just sort of figuring life out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I was writing stuff, but just not really putting the time into it. And then fortunately, thanks to her willingness to be a super parent and give me time to do things, I'm able to do things.
Yeah.
So it's been an exciting year, like probably going back to last summer when I really started putting the final pieces together for the record that just came out, and then finding these guys and getting some gigs. And we've had a lot of luck finding gigs. Like people are just offering us places to play, which is amazing.
No, that doesn't usually happen.
No.
Usually you've got to go out and stump for it.
I know. Like every gig we've had, we've been offered another gig. So that's been really nice. Yeah, I'm not gonna question that. It's been really good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
And where have you been playing?
Very first gig was at a brewery in Georgetown. So the Furnace Room Brewery, give them credit because they took a chance on us. And that was fun. It was just like random Thursday night they have there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was pretty good. A few people came.
Big good crowd. Then we played at this bar in Acton because a guy who organizes this monthly jam day afternoon thing invited us to play. So we played for like, what, 50 people probably? And this mostly older people, but we were there for the sort of 60s rock jam, but they seemed to like us. We played the Staircase Theater in Hamilton was our CD release. I did a solo show in Burlington recently that someone invited me to do, which was a ton of fun and got to meet some new people. That's the great thing about music is when you play with other bands, you get to meet other people and often meet really interesting people. Yeah. So I think it's cool.
And you've got an upcoming gig on a church.
We do. We're playing here in Waterloo at Emmanuel United, which is on Bridgeport, kind of where the curves, right at the curve there. They've been doing concerts there for a bit. And
For those listeners on radio, Peter was making curving motions with his hand.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Well, there's video. the audio medium. So it's pretty cool, though. They're having us. They asked us to do it, so it should be fun. It's Friday night. Don't come Friday night. It's Saturday night. I actually picked the date. It's the 29th of February, so it's a leap day, which only happens every 4 years. I thought it'd be fun to play on a leap day.
Yeah.
I don't know why not. So, at 7 o'clock. Should be a fun night, I think. We got a good set put together, and like there's something cool about playing in a space that's made for music but not for the music that you're playing. They build churches for sound, right? But they don't build churches for like the music that we play, really.
Arch ceilings and you know, focusing the sound in certain areas.
Absolutely. So it's kind of cool, and I think it'll be fun, and they seem like a nice, the little bit I've had to do with them, they seem like a cool group of people there. So
how'd they get a hold of you?
It's through a website, actually. There's a, what's his name? There's a musician, Canadian musician, who's pretty well known, who has he helped do a website where he connects bands to gigs. So through there, we were on there, and they were looking for people looking to play around here.
I'll put that in the show notes so that everybody else can take advantage
Absolutely,
of that.
Absolutely, it's a great website.
Show notes are on radiowaterloo.ca/ccc. You can catch all the show notes, podcasts, and previous episodes there as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah,
so I think, you know, we have that show. It should be fun. 7 o'clock, I said that, and it'll be just the three of us. Like I said, Ty hasn't quite got up to speed with us, but I think the three of us make quite a lot of noise, so it's pretty cool.
And it'll be an electric set,
It won't be acoustic like this. It'll be much more electric.
The album is almost entirely electric.
It's very electric. There's only a little bit of acoustic guitar. I think what happened is, funny story, is I wore myself out as a university student playing like open mics and stuff with an acoustic guitar, like just all the time, and I was like, I just don't want to play acoustic guitar anymore.
Is it harder to play acoustic guitar than electric? I don't play guitar at all.
It's not hard. It's different. I think, you know, it's harder on your fingers, find, just for me. But no, I think it's just a different kind of vibe, and I think you can do different things with each. So for the sound that we're trying to make, I think, I don't know, you can chime in here. I'm doing all the time. I think electric works better for our sound. It's kind of more punky, more kind of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Get more powerful.
A little bit of comparison here. I've got both albums and the EP sitting here in the digital library. So if you want to play something and then... You can play a few minutes of it electrically as well and see how that compares.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do Secret Space, which is, I think, one of the most popular.
And that's actually been playing on our rotation already because you sent that to us as a preview.
I did,
so that's been out there already. Secret Space by the Soviet Influence.
When worlds collide, light and darkness, we wait on the side. Will we take part? Is it light enough to see where we're going? You try to change the world from the outside. Just look around at all this talk. First step towards a new start. You try to soothe me. You say it's not my fault. Well, I don't believe you. No, not at all. Is it light enough to see where we're going? You try to change. Outside. change the world from the inside.
Secret Spaces from the Soviet Influence, the album edition.
Yeah, definitely better than the live version that we just did. But that's fair. We had a lot more time to work on the album version. So
it has a different feel to it.
Yeah.
And it has a history. You were telling me about the history.
Yeah, so I wrote this song 2010 or so. I was taking a class. I'm a social worker by profession. That's my job. So I was taking a class when I was in school on indigenous social work, working with indigenous people doing social work. And our instructor was an indigenous woman. So she, at the end of the semester, we did like a potlatch kind of thing where everyone had to bring a gift to the class. And some people wrote stuff, some people made things. So I decided to write a song. And so this song just kind of came out. And it was really a commentary on the experience of being in that course and sort of learning all, like at the time I probably didn't know anything about indigenous history in Canada, mm-hmm. and then you learn all the stuff about like residential schools and, you know, the medical history stuff and like just the terrible things that have happened
and continue to happen,
have not really changed, absolutely. And so being in that space and what it's like to feel that feeling of sort of like, oh, okay, I didn't know this, now I've learned this, now what do I do with it, because it's, you know, you feel kind of like you haven't been part of the solution, so mm-hmm. you've been part of the problem, I guess. So in the chorus, when it's talking about trying to change things from the outside, it's sort of also a critique of social work, who were part of the people who created residential schools in the first place, you know, and how we tried to fix people's problems without really understanding them. So
without even knowing that they're might not have been any problems.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's kind of where that song came from. And a lot of my songs have some of that social justice-y stuff in them. So
yeah, well, that's good. That's good. That's right up my alley there. Yeah. You said that you had some assistance in preparing the album and mixing.
Yeah. So for this one, I wanted to make it a little bit more like, I mean, I can mix a song okay, but I want it to really sound good. So for this track, Secret Space, and the one after it, Rust, I had two other people do the mix for me. Mm-hmm. So Dave Partridge, who is mostly an engineer these days, he was in a lot of bands. We're the same age, so he was coming up the same time I was. But he runs a studio in Oakville. He mixed that song for me and put it together, which was awesome. And then the song after that, Dan Kanopka, who's a drummer in the States, plays in the band OK Go, which is sort of a well-known band.
Yeah.
Anyway, he mixed that one for me. He did the drums, some of the parts. He really liked that song, so he ran with it.
Yeah.
So he did that, and then I mixed the rest because I had time, and it's also really expensive to have other people mix your songs.
Yeah,
and
I guess, you know.
Can only spend so much money. So that was cool though, because it was neat to kind of hear someone else's interpretation of. So you give them the tracks and all the pieces and have them put the puzzle together.
Yeah.
It's kind of different and it's not how I would have done it, so it's really cool.
Okay.
And better than I probably would have done.
Okay, so you're happy with
it. Oh, it's definitely better than what I would have done, yes. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. The guitar sound it's a very twangy electric guitar sound. It sounds like it comes straight out of the 1960s, you know, the Soviet influence
absolutely.
Area.
I would say it's like the Byrds through REM, because REM was very jangly and they were inspired by the Byrds. I think that's kind of how that got to me. And then like the Smiths and those sorts of bands too from the 80s. And then, yeah, like anything 60s. I mean, my mom, credit my mom, talk about my mom. My mom was a huge music person growing up. Uh-huh. I got my first records from her. She saw like Pink Floyd playing Hamilton like 68 or whatever year they came. Like she saw all those people, Alice Cooper, you know, those are all those guys. So she introduced me to a lot of that music when I was little. And then and growing up, and then sort of grew into it. So it's not surprising that those sorts of influences come through at all, because it's all been in my head my whole life.
So now it comes out in the music.
It does, absolutely. Yeah.
What do you do in the way of composing? How does stuff create itself?
It's actually been cool. So historically, I've just sort of like played guitar and wrote stuff. So like a song like Secret Space, I would have just been sitting down with my guitar and came up with like the guitar part and then started singing over it.
Almost like a commissioned work that one was.
Yeah, yeah, stuff would just come out. Or like I would have little snippets of ideas I would just record versions and then try to figure something out of. What's been great now is since getting these guys is we've actually started writing as a group. So at our last, do you want to tell the story what happened at our last show?
Yeah, so at our last show, we're just getting started being a band and playing songs. So obviously we don't have a lot of songs. And our last show went pretty well. So they asked for an encore. And we know no more songs. So Pete turns around and is like, I guess we're playing an encore, and starts up a pretty cool riff. And both me and Blake are like, I guess we'll follow this. And we wrote a song live as our encore.
Wow. Yeah. On the fly music.
Yeah.
It
was,
and it's not too bad. Yeah, we've been working on it. It's going to be a good song, I think. So.
Is that something that you can do today?
Oh, man. That's asking a lot. We can try.
We can try it.
Give it a shot.
You want to try to do something?
Let's
see what we can come up with. Let's pick a chord. Thank you.
Soviet original.
There you go. He won.
Yeah.
Original song.
Mm. And has a title yet? A name? How can somebody request it if there's no name?
Oh, that's a good point.
That's true.
We need a name. We'll call that one The Long Dark Hallway.
The nice. Long Dark Hallway. Nice. Yeah.
I'm looking out into the hallway here. Yeah, yeah. It's inspired.
Long, but not so dark.
If I looked to the left, I would have seen Pikachu, and then it would have been Pikachu song. That would not have been as good.
Long Dark Hallway by the Soviet Influence.
Yeah.
Cool. So, it has lyrics, but if you made them up as you were actually performing, that's just incredible. My brain doesn't work that way.
Mine seems to, for some reason. I'm going to get... So, when I was a kid, my first love was the theater. So I started musical theater and plays and stuff when I was very little. And I remember going to like theater school, which is a thing. It's like dance lessons. And we would do a lot of improv. So I think that's probably what trained me to like come up with lyrics on the spot, is like just doing improv stuff where you'd have to come up with things. I think. Anyway, that's all the best I can figure out. Because, yeah, it's just like words come out. And sometimes they make sense and sometimes they don't. Like, This Is the News, which is a song we're going to play probably in a little bit, just came out. Just like... And there it was, pretty much fully formed when I was just playing it, which is, those moments are really weird, because it's like, how did, obviously there was something eating away that's like needed to be,
And when it comes to you, does it come to you as a fully formed song, or often, that one in the news?
Often, yeah.
So music and lyrics came together?
Everything just sort of happens, and you're like, oh, well, here it is. Yeah. And like, I guess I can't take credit for that, because it feels like it's not me, but it is, you know? I've heard other people talk about that experience, where it's like it just comes out, and I don't know, maybe it's something about creativity and the human brain.
I've heard that from novelists, you know? The characters take on a life of their own, and you just have to write down what they're doing, because it's not that you're making anything up, they're just doing what the characters do, and I guess it might be the same with
music. I
think
it's a similar kind of thing, yeah, because you definitely feel it come out, and you're like, oh, man, it's real.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Peter? Other Peter. Do you do any composition, any...
Not so much lyrics. I try to write riffs and stuff, but, like, you sort of do that always when you pick up a guitar. You just, like, whatever, like, you fool around on kind of thing, and it's that kind of vibe, but nothing quite yet. I hang on for dear life whenever Peter plays, and just hope to follow that. Hope not to mess up too much.
It'll
on
come.
Air.
I expect that at some point you'll have the same experience that Peter here has, sure, Peter Snow, and then it'll come out in one fell swoop, and that makes you a lyricist and an author. Yeah.
Bring it on. I have to say that Peter here is like our musical genius in the group, because he like knows everything about music theory. So he'll be like, "Did you play this chord or that chord?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, probably." Sometimes I'm like, I don't know what chord I just played. So I like that about him, because he's so knowledgeable and so on the ball with that stuff. It's like, oh, great, you know.
And so you've taken music theory and...
Right now, I'm in university, and right now my class is going on for music theory that I'm missing.
You're missing your music theory class.
So
oh
hopefully
dear.
My prof's not listening. I'm not in class.
Hopefully they are, so they can see you're doing work.
Exactly.
This is a culmination. I mean, no point in taking all those lessons if there's no outlet for it.
Exactly.
Here's your outlet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How about you, Peter Snow?
Yeah, so I did. I started, like I said, in theater. I did piano lessons as a kid, like so many kids, and just was lazy about it, so didn't really get anywhere with that. And then... Yeah, I did a music minor when I was in university, so I have some of the knowledge. I just don't use it much, so, like, you know how it is when you don't use something. It just, like, I write stuff, but, like, I'm not thinking about it from a theory perspective, so I'm just sort of playing, and then, you know how it is.
Yeah.
So it's like learning French, right? Like, we all learn French, but none of us can speak it.
We don't sit down and conjugate verbs on our own.
Exactly, no, right? If you don't have it fresh in your mind, you kind of...
Exactly.
It's been one of the great things about being in a band again, is that there's more opportunity to think about that stuff, so it starts to come back.
How does the collaboration process work then?
Basically, we get together in my basement, which is the only space we really have to practice, and which is great because it's a good space. And then we just start to play, and like, you know, it's stuff comes out. We wrote a little thing Saturday. We practiced. We came up with a little thing that we can't play because it won't sound good without drums. But you know, just a little idea, and it just turns into something. You know, and I think that's the cool thing. And Peter and I are constantly, it seems, texting about. Music about band stuff. It's like, we should play these songs. We should do this. We should try this on this song and change this around. And it's another thing Peter's really good for is ideas for, like, you know, if we took the verse here and moved the bridge here and then flipped this around and played this way, it would sound cool. And we should
do
that.
The mechanics of songwriting.
Yeah, we mix stuff up and try to do things differently a little bit when we play them. I mean, we also have to work with the limitations of the instruments we have, because we can, at the moment, it's just one bass, one guitar, and drums. And if you listen to the album, there's like three or four guitars in every song. and sometimes there's other instruments, especially on the first album, there's piano and strings and stuff. So we have to figure out how to translate that into to the three of us so it sounds full and good and not like it's missing something. So that's been a challenge, I think, with some of our songs.
And do you go back and rework stuff if your band lineup changes or your instrumentation improves?
Yeah, for sure. We are always rethinking what we can do. I think every practice we come up with new ideas.
We don't play the song same twice.
Ever. I don't think that's... No? Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, we're always trying new things because... Well, one, you know, so we don't get bored, but also I think we can always find a better way to do things because I think what we're trying to get something across when we play live, and because we're still so new to doing it as a group, we're always trying to find new ways to get our ideas across the way we want them to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you had something planned in the news?
Oh, this is the news. Well, we were gonna play that for you if you want to.
You history. Is there a history? You said this came to you.
So this song, yeah. So this is a song. I mean, if you listen to the lyrics, it's really about like the idea of like, you know, like fake news and like all that, like how people are so confused about what's true and what's not true anymore because of like social media and just, you know, people not hearing the facts. So I wrote this song, I wrote the song on the spot. It came out basically from the perspective of someone who's like not super politically savvy, who doesn't really know what's going on and is trying to figure it out and like feels like they need to figure it out, but they can't because it's just too confusing. Which I think is a state that a lot of people, it was kind of inspired, I think, by my partner. Throw her under the bus a little bit. But no, she's so busy, right? Because I mean, we have three children. I mean, she's on mat leave right now, but she's busy. A lot of house stuff. And she's not as interested in political stuff as I am. So for her, it's really hard to keep up on things because there's just so much.
So much
happening all the time. And, you know, in Canada, we're bombarded with everything from
the US. It's overwhelming even for those people who follow the news.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much happening. So so I kind of felt for her because, like, it's like, how does someone who's not at all, you know, on top of this... keep on top of this. So this song kind of talks about that. It talks about this idea of like, I feel like I have to pick something, but I don't know what I'm picking. So how do I do that? And I mean, I don't have the answer to that question, but I wanted to write a song that kind of talked about that. And also there's like a, I guess it's the chorus, but it only happens once. And it talks about this idea of like, I'm just so busy with everything in my life, just trying to like make it to the next day. So then it becomes a bit of a critique of capitalism, I guess, which isn't fitting with our Soviet-influenced name. But just how we're so busy trying to survive that we don't have time to sit down and, like, really figure out what's important and what matters. And sometimes what's important isn't the stuff that's globally important. It's what's important, you know, in the 10 feet around our house. So,
and sometimes that's more important.
Sometimes, yeah. So this is the news. This is the news. Walking through your life, and what could you do? It's just a roll of the dice. Said I'm confused by the pacing and the lights, and I know I've gotta pick my fight. Time to choose. I know I have to pick a side. Can't wait long. I gotta get on this ride.
this is the news. You're walking through my life and I'm confused. I wanna pick a fight, no time to choose between the rhetoric and the lies. And I know it's just a roll of the dice.
The news by Soviet influence. The Pravda.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with the name Soviet influence?
All right, that's a funny story, which has also created a lot of controversy. Well, I say a lot, a little bit of controversy with people on the internet. I guess we're getting a call.
Not taking that right.
Someone's
now.
Calling into the studio. No, so when I was a university student in a long time ago, 2001, some guys on my residence floor created this like weird club that was like based on like the military or something. I don't really remember. But anyway, they had this club and certain people were in the club, certain people weren't in the club. So those of us who weren't in the club, being the, you know, miffed people that we were, created our own club, which we called the Soviet Muppet Empire. And we would have these stupid, they were so dumb, these dumb meetings where we would just pretend that we were like, we would play the Soviet national anthem, and we all had these like stupid titles like, you know, Commissar of the whatever. It was really dumb. Anyway, so that was our club. It only was around for like a week. But I just remembered that name because I thought it was such a cool name, the Soviet Muppet Empire. So then when I was trying to come up with a name for this band, because I hadn't, for the project when I released Boundaries, I needed something to call it. I was like, what can I call it? And I couldn't really call it the Soviet Muppet Empire because Muppet is sort of like, it's a term, right? You can't use that.
It's trademarked, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, you can't just use that. So I was like, what else can I do? So then somewhere along the line, I thought, oh, the Soviet influence is kind of a cool name. It sort of like talks about imperialism and sort of it's got a bit of a political edge. It's also, I mean, Soviet's just kind of an interesting word. Soviet's also just kind of an interesting word. Also very, as I'm learning, charged. There are a lot of very angry people who we've had on social media and kind of been like, it's just a band, relax. And I've had some actually really good conversations with people about sort of political stuff, getting into because what I say to people is like, yeah, we called the Soviet influence. We could easily have called it like the British influence or the American influence or any of those big empires that like had an imperialistic bent. Canadian Empire, really. Mm-hmm. I should have gone there. But anyway, but it's sort of more nostalgia-y because the Soviet Union is not really around anymore. And you know, as much as Putin and his company are doing what they do, it's, you know, the USSR literally doesn't exist. So anyway, I also think it sounds cool. And I think people think it sounds cool. Like people who aren't angry about it think it sounds cool. And I mean, the first rule of a band name is it has to be cool. Cause
it is certainly cool. It is certainly attention getting.
Yes.
And like you say, somewhat controversial in some circles.
Absolutely. But yeah. I will say this. I live in a small town and we were in the newspaper in our small town after our first show. We got reviewed. And all the people I know were totally cool with the name. And these are like, you're talking old, like, you know, retired farmer people. And they were all just, none of them said anything about it. So
okay.
If they're okay with it, I feel like, whatever. We've hit our demographic, retired farmers.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your Bandcamp page.
Yep.
Yeah, the Bandcamp page has the album cover for Price of Vigilance.
Yeah.
Can you describe that?
Absolutely. So I came up with the name The Price of Vigilance because of there's that old saying, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, and people pull that out all the time lately because of the political thing. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if the cover could be that, but you cross out the middle part like it's graffiti, and it's just called The Price of Vigilance, and then beware the Soviet influence and cross out beware. The really cool thing about this, so we had a limited number of vinyl copies made. That's where the cover comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew of this person who is in Hamilton named Sarah, who runs this company called All Sorts Press. And she does printing with like old printing presses, like big old with like wood block type.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, really?
Which
old.
Is what this is.
Okay.
So she printed that for me. And then I had another friend of mine do the paint lines because I figured I would ruin it if I did it. So cause I'm not an artist at all. So I said, can you, he's an amazing artist. He could do amazing things. Can you just like draw some
paint
lines?
Paint somebody to blot out somebody else's
some words.
Work.
Yeah. But this is the vision. Like literally this was my vision and they made it real. So, and it's cool because on the few vinyl copies that we have, the type is, it's, it, you feel it, right? Because it's printed right on. So it's actually like you can feel and you can feel the paint.
The ink
it's
has very surface.
It's so tactile. It's amazing.
Okay.
But I thought that, I mean, it's very bleak. If you look, I mean, the album cover for Boundaries was also very black and white bleak. It's got me thinking that the next time we do a record, we should probably put some color on it. Just because it's all very dark.
it's monochromatic.
It's an aesthetic, but yeah. I think we should probably move on from there. But so I really wanted to do the block type thing because I was like, this is just so... It looks like an old poster that would have been up on a wall and someone scribbled it out. And that was the vision that I had for it, was that it would look like that. So yeah, I think it's cool. I like it a lot. I think it looks really good on the like 12-inch vinyl because it's just like so big and like... in your face.
It could be a poster, you know. If it wasn't an album cover, it could
absolutely
be a poster.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have it on t-shirts too, so if people want t-shirts. Got some t-shirts.
Okay, so t-shirts. How do you merchandise this stuff? Huh?
Well, our Bandcamp has all this stuff on there. So we have t-shirts, and I still have some CD copies of Boundaries, actually, funny enough. Just a couple left. And then some records. Yeah, we don't do a ton. They have we put a Beware the Soviet Influence sticker on our drum kit.
Cause looks professional.
Looks pretty cool. But yeah, we're not like super into that stuff. We just, mostly my kids wanted t-shirts, so I made t-shirts for them and then also made some for adults. So I thought, well, if I'm gonna make them for kids, maybe some adults would want them too.
And that's thesovietinfluence.bandcamp.com.
That's where you go, yeah.
All right.
And we're terrible salesmen.
Yeah.
I guess it's a completely different skill set from being a musician.
So true. There's
the whole business of being a band. I mean, you've been lucky in getting the gigs handed to you.
We've been very lucky.
But I know that there's a lot of people who have people to do the promotion, you know, people to
absolutely
do the business part of their...
And some people are just better at it. Like, I know other bands who are just way better at, like, promoting themselves and, like, pushing themselves. And, like, it just, it comes naturally to them. And I don't think... It doesn't to me. I mean, I'm a social worker, right? So I know how to persuade a person one-on-one or in a group, but I'm no good at, like, large feet. You're an English major.
Still can't promote anything.
Yeah.
Can barely talk.
Blake's a scientist, so like, what's he, I mean, he's rather be in a lab, right? So I mean, what good is that?
Scientists are notorious for being poor communicators.
He said that, not you, Peter.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, not our, maybe our number one forte, but I think, you know, we've been lucky and we've done well and people seem to like us, so I think that helps a lot. And we're all nice. Like, I think that's, I'm saying this about myself now. Now I sound super arrogant, but no, I think, like, we're not, and that's one of the prerequisites, I think, to being in this group, is you're gonna have to be, like, funny and nice, because none of us are, like, professional musicians, right? Like, we can all play, but we're not, like, you know, we're not jerks, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think so, anyway.
I mean, Blake's not the nicest. He's kind of a jerk.
I like Blake a lot. I'm not his brother, though, so it's
I don't think you could be in a band and get gigs if you're a jerk.
I mean, no, I don't think so.
To
think right.
Bring you into their own venue to be a jerk.
People do like us, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're all friendly, too, so that helps. Well, and then I just bring my little six-year-old around because he loves our shows. He was on stage at our last show. Got up on there and danced around a bit, so.
They musicians, your kids?
My six-year-old plays the drums pretty well for a six-year-old. He started when he was two because I had a drum kit and he would just want to bang on it. And he was actually, there's some videos... on YouTube of him playing drums at two, just because I thought it was adorable. And he's, like, not half bad for a two-year-old. Like, he's not, like, you know, like a savant or something, but, like, he's not bad. Right. And now he's, you know, he's starting to get older. He's not taking lessons yet because we wanted to wait to see if he would stick with it. But he's, you know, not bad. And our three-year-old's more interested in cars and stuff. And then we have a baby, so obviously he's not a musician yet. But I have a feeling, I mean, just watching me do this, I think, and they really love Peter and Blake a lot. Zach will come and sit and watch our practices, just sit there and just stare at us.
Yeah.
Like we're like heroes, right? Like it's like amazing.
I would say it's probably the biggest mistake that I made is not following through on any sort of musical training. I had the opportunity when I went to high school, there was music classes and I chose all the science courses instead.
I know we make these choices in life, right? Like you think like, oh, if I'd taken that path or I'd done that thing or tried this, what would have become of me? You know, I think about that a lot because so many things you could have done, or I mean, I'm happy with where my life is, but you know, you never know where you might have been.
And there's no do-overs, you know. Yeah. You're stuck with the decisions you've made in the past.
It's true.
Yeah. Any more music?
Yeah, we can do another one. This song, I want to talk about the song before I play it. This song was out. The music was written by me. The words were not written by me. So I used to work with a woman named Kara, who is an occupational therapist, but also is a very good writer. So when she was in university, she studied English, much like Peter over here, and she published some stuff in like literary journals and things, so she was pretty good. So I asked her one day, I was like, hey, do you think you could write words to a song? She's like, I don't know, I've never done that, but I'll try. So she did. She gave me these words, and I had a song for them, so it was great. I think it's a really good song. The lyrics are
creepy.
Like, it's really creepy. It's about... I explained this at the last gig I did by myself, and the audience was kind of looking at me like I was from outer space. It's basically about... I feel weird saying this. It's about a person whose eyes have been sewn shut for some reason. I think it's a metaphor. Let me start by saying I think it's a metaphor. But and then they open... They try to undo that so they can see again, but it's they've been in the dark for so long that it hurts to look at the light, so then they want to just close their eyes again. So I think it's like a metaphor for, like, sometimes we've been sad for so long that when we see happiness, we don't want it, and we retreat back into the sadness. Or it could be a lot of other things. That's just an interpretation I'm making on that song. That's kind of how I think about it when I play it, which helps me to kind of feel the emotions in the song. But the words are really kind of creepy. But it also has, like, a super beautiful chorus that she wrote, which I really, really like. So hopefully you guys like it too. And the music kind of goes with it, I think. The music's a little bit weird and disjointed and in a strange kind of rhythm pattern. Pete always says that I play by feel and not by time. Yeah. Which is, I think, a compliment, but also possibly his frustration at playing bass with me. All right, so this song is called Sutures, appropriately enough.
Sutures by Soviet Influence. Different from the other tracks on the album, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's also, I mean, I sing it there because I usually sing it live. It was a spoken kind of song originally. Mm. I have a couple songs like that where I decided to speak them instead of sing them, just as like a thing to do and to try out. But I like to sing it live because I think it sounds better, like for the live vibe. It's a bit weird to talk. It's also hard to play it and talk. I just find that like an odd. My brain, I think it must be the way my brain works, but like the part that sings and the part
either
that talks
all music or
don't work together very well. So I have to do that.
I have difficulty in classifying the social influence. You know, the genre tag is an important thing for the radio station.
Absolutely.
So we can put together our different rotations.
Totally.
Put you down as soft rock for the one that released back in January.
Yeah.
Secret Spaces. And then indie rock or alternative rock. I think Boundaries is alternative rock. And,
for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it is hard because, I mean, it's my fault, really, for being kind of all over the place with my... I basically, when I'm writing songs, it's like whatever's in my head is going to inspire what I'm doing. So when I listen to a lot of different stuff, so like if I happen to listen to a lot of Radiohead one week, I'm going to sound more Radiohead. Or if I've listened to a lot of like Genesis one week, it's going to sound more Genesis. Or if it's more like Broken Social Scene or Tragically Hip, or if I'm listening to a lot of like Coup de Pirat, which is like a French singer who does like very like great music, but not at all like what we do, like it's going to, all that's going to like influence what I do. I used to joke that growing up when we'd go for car rides, my parents had two tapes in the car they would always listen to. One was We Can't Dance by Genesis, and the other one was Rod Stewart's Vagabond Heart. Which are very different.
Okay.
Very different, right? So I'd listen to it, but then inevitably when I started writing songs, they either sounded like acoustic-y kind of Rod Stewart-y songs or like really progressive sounding Genesis songs. And I was like, ah, how do I bring this together? So yeah, I think that's mostly my fault that we haven't found. Like it's kind of because I write sort of all over the place. So I think you're right. Like I think it is hard, like unusually hard to classify a bit. So what I've taken to doing in describing it when I don't have to come up with just a specific genre is just to like mention some of the influences that we have and being like, these are things that influence it. So if you like these things, you might like what we're doing.
Yeah. Does that affect your live performances as well? Do the live performances mold themselves?
I think
to your
they sort of all come together because we, you know, it just sort of naturally comes together, I think, and works well. I think what I found actually interestingly is when I was doing, when I played a set by myself, and I found that the differences were much bigger playing them acoustically by myself than when I do it with the three of us. And I think that's because we kind of, it's like gravity, like it pulls us, our sound into one similar spot. Whereas when I'm by myself, I'm kind of just playing the songs and it sort of has, doesn't have that root. Having the bass and the drums, and you know, Pete has a very distinctive playing style, which is very good and but very distinctive. So, you know, it kind of pulls it to one place, which I think is good. And then my guitar playing when I'm using my electric, because I don't change my tone a ton from song to song, it's able to kind of be more cohesive that way too. And then when I sing, like, I'm actually being somewhat quiet in here a little bit. I'm trying not to be too loud. I think when I sing loud, I'm a lot louder and a lot more.
Yeah.
That's my musical theater background. So
radio is an intimate medium, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't want to blow up.
Like a huge theater venue that's...
Yeah, you can
push even
it.
A small theater venue, yeah.
Even in a small like bar, you can do it, though.
And you'll hear that on Sunday?
Saturday
the 29th.
I know, I said Friday, you said Sunday.
Okay.
Split the difference, Saturday.
Saturday,
someone
February
will figure
29th,
it out.
Emmanuel United Church.
Yeah, it's on Bridgeport Road at 7 o'clock, and it should be a fun night, I think. I think it's going to be fun. I mean, we're going to have fun, so, you know, if people want to come have fun with us, it's, you know.
Fun is the name of the game. Anything else beyond that?
We don't have anything. Well, the Leathertown Festival. So the Acton Leathertown Festival approached us. So we're playing there in the summer. That's not until August, though. We're waiting to hear on some other stuff. We're working on putting some things together. It's a busy time for me right now because I'm about to go off work for 6 months to be home with my children.
Ah.
So I've been sort of figuring that stuff out. It means a little less time to figure out gigs and band stuff. And the gigs don't always fall in your lap, as you know. So we've been working on that. But we'll definitely be doing more stuff, and we'll be out and about more. And as time goes on, getting into the summer and pushing our, well, we have our records out now. So I'm hoping to do more recording this year. We were talking about that. So, and maybe do another album in the fall or in the new year. So
that'd be good. When it's out, let us know.
We will for sure.
And we'll stick it in the library and maybe have you back in the studio.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah. You want to take us out?
Yeah. Let's do. What can we do? I'm like blanking on a song right now. Let's play our new song. Okay.
Ooh, a new song. What's this called?
This one also doesn't have a name. We're going to call this one 2 weeks.
2 weeks. KMS Community Connections here on CKMS FM 102.7. My name is Bob Jonkman. We'll be back on Friday from 2 o'clock till 3 o'clock with Yennefer Strong and James Jordan. Stay tuned now for the Wild World of Motorsports while we're listening to the Soviet Influence.